to stand before you again. I'm feeling for Donnie this morning. Good to see visitors out here and a lot of faces we've not seen in a while. Good to have you here this morning. As always, what we do up here is a very serious thing, and if we ever get anything wrong, count you as a friend to correct me in those things as I stand before you this morning. If you'll go ahead and turn to Numbers chapter 20. Begin at verse 1 here. And the people of Israel, the whole congregation, came to the wilderness of Zin in the first month. And the people stayed in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. Verse 2 starts and says, Now there was no water for the congregation. And they assembled themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people quarreled with Moses and said, Would that you had perished when our brothers perished before the Lord? Why have you brought the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness, that we should die here, both we and our cattle? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is no place for grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting and fell on their faces. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water. So you shall bring water out of the rock for them and give drink to the congregation and their cattle. Moses took the staff from before the Lord as he commanded him. Verse 10, Then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, Hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank and their livestock. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, Because you did not believe in me, to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them. These are the waters of Meribah, where the people of Israel quarreled with the Lord, and through them he showed himself holy. This morning we're going to talk about Moses' sin and lessons to be learned from it. The Old Testament, as we know, reveals much about God and his dealings with mankind, the children of Israel specifically, and we'd be wise to study those things. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. Told here in verse 11, Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction on whom the end of the ages has come. So again, we'd be wise to study those things. Romans chapter 15. And verse 4. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. So again, this morning we're going to look at Moses and see his sin and what we can learn from it and apply it to our lives. Moses is mentioned 79 times in the New Testament. And with that exception, he is presented as an example of faithfulness. He's an example of righteousness in all those times. Two times in the Hebrew letter it is said Moses was faithful in all his house. And the 11th chapter, Moses is included when it talks about men of whom the world was not worthy. There's a description of him. Nevertheless, Moses did sin, and against his sin that we're going to look at this morning. So what's the aspects of Moses' sin? Not his sin specifically, but his aspects of that sin. The first thing we'll note is anger. And this is obvious from his words where he says, Now listen now, you rebels, how he addresses them, the anger he has. Let's turn over to Psalms chapter 106. Again, verse 32. Psalms 106 and verse 32. They angered him at the waters of Meribah, and it went ill with Moses on their account, for they made his spirit bitter, and he spoke rashly with his lips. So we see Moses' sin grew out of his anger with the children of Israel. How often do we look at our children and say, Well, ask, but you need to ask it in a nice way? Well, they didn't do those things. If that rebellious generation had asked in a nice way, it would have been better off for Moses. Maybe his anger wouldn't have been like it was. We don't know. Nevertheless, this didn't excuse him from his sin. We must learn to be slow to anger. Let's turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, and we'll begin at verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4 with me. Ephesians 4 will begin at verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. So again, we see here, it's not that anger is a sin, but don't do those things through anger. Again, Moses' sin was not his anger, but his acting in that anger was part of it. Often the fights we have with loved ones demonstrate the way we act when we're angry. And so we need to take this to heed. The second aspect of Moses' sin is there was disobedience involved. Moses was told to speak to the rock in verse 8. Now, he spoke a lot of words, but none of them were to the rock. He was speaking to the children of Israel. He simply did not do what God told him to do, and he reaped consequences for those things. Third aspect of his sin was transgression. Transgression means to cross the line, to go beyond. That's one of the definitions of that. Let's turn over to 2 John, verse 9. 2 John, verse 9. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Again, to abide means to accept, to dwell within. And so we're told again here in this verse, anyone who goes ahead and does not abide or accept in the teaching of Christ does not have God. But whoever abides or accepts in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. King James Version may read, whoever transgresseth. The American Standard Version says, whoever goes onward. The New American Standard Version says, anyone who goes too far or goes on ahead. Moses sinned in the sight of God. He went too far. He went beyond. He transgressed. Fourth aspect of Moses' sin is that he dishonored God. Let's turn back over to our reading, Numbers chapter 20. He dishonored God. When you get there, let's look at verse 10 again. Then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock? Notice he says, must we bring water for you? The we refers to Moses and Aaron. They did not mention God. He's left out of the equation. As the psalmist said, he, me and Moses, spoke rashly with his lips. He spoke unadvisedly, as we read already. Verse 12. Let's read it. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe in me, to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them. Again, this verse shows that they failed to hallow God in the eyes of the people. Turn up to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy 32, let's begin at verse 48. That very day the Lord spoke to Moses, go up to this mountain of Abraham, Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, opposite Jericho, and view the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel for possession. And die on the mountain which you go up and be gathered to your people, as Aaron your brother died in Mount Hor and was gathered to his people. Because you broke faith with me in the midst of the people of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin, and because you did not treat me as holy in the midst of the people of Israel. For you shall see the land before you, but you shall not go there into the land that I am given to the people of Israel. And so, they did not give God his just due for providing the water to the people. He said, shall we do these things? We also know that Herod had failed to glorify, and he was eaten by worms. Let's look at that example over in Acts chapter 12. Acts 12, we'll begin at verse 20. Now Herod was angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and they came to him with one accord, and having persuaded Blastus, the king's chamberlain, they asked for peace because the country depended on the king's country for food. On an appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes, took his seat upon the throne, and delivered an oration to them. And the people were shouting, the voice of a god and not of man. And immediately an angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms, and he breathed his last. Another aspect of Moses' sin was unbelief. Sometimes we don't see that in there. You know, he kind of did what God said to him, but there was, God counted as unbelief. Verse 12, it says, because you did not believe me. True belief or faith in God is trusting in and relying on God. Moses did not show or demonstrate his faith in God in this instance. He became angry, he was talked about. God requires that we control our anger. He was disobedient. Faith is proved and perfected in obedience. Godly men and women proved their faith by their obedience. We know that from Hebrews chapter 11, the examples that we have there. He was guilty of transgression. Apparently what God had said was not as good as what he had not said. And that's what people mistaken a lot of times. And he dishonored God, and we need to acknowledge and praise God at all times for all things. So that's the aspects of his sin, but what's the lessons that we can draw from that sin and apply to our own lives? One thing is that we can learn is that we may sin in the least way we expect. Moses was meek. Moses was humble. He was not harsh. He was not an ill-tempered man. And yet, this was part of his sin here. Exodus chapter 3. Again, this example, you know, Moses sinned in a way that he least expected. Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, talking about him here. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Turn to chapter 4 of Exodus in verse 10. But Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent. Either in the past or since, you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. Moses didn't think a lot about himself. He was a meek person. He was humble. Nonetheless, his character was not demonstrated in this instance. And then you look at Peter's denial of Jesus. Peter probably didn't expect to sin in that way, to fail in that way. But he denied him. But he did. Where we think we're strongest may be the place where Satan attacks. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'll read verse 12. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. Again, where we think we're strongest might be our weakest point at some point in time. Another lesson we can learn from Moses' sin is that no one is above sin. Moses was certainly one of the greats of the Bible. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 34. Begin at verse 10. Listen how the Bible describes him here. And there was not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and for all the mighty power of all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of Israel. Moses was one of the greats. Nevertheless, he sinned. No one's immune from sin. Not gospel preachers, not elders, no one. If we say we have no sin, we make God a liar. 1 John chapter 1, if you'll turn with me. First John chapter 1, we'll begin at verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Another lesson we can draw from Moses' sin is that God expects exact obedience in what we do. We need to worship exactly as truth directs. John chapter 4, please. I'll read verse 24. This is Jesus speaking here. He says, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Key word is must. We must worship in spirit and in truth as we're directed. Following a false way will condemn us. Another lesson we can draw from Moses' sin is that the end does not justify the means. Israel was, they were famished. They'd been wandering. They were weak. And when Moses brought forth water, this refreshed them. This is a good thing, right? So they're weak, they're famished. He brings forth water and they're refreshed. There may have been some stubborn and rebellious people there who may have said to God, well, what difference does it make, God? Speak to the rock, strike the rock, we got our water. It's all good. The important thing is we got our water. And this sounds familiar. Things people might say today is, well, our missionary societies or our sponsoring church arrangements, they've done so much good. Many people have been converted through them. Or our social programs are bringing in many people. Look at the good we're doing. We're drawing people that are hearing the gospel. We're drawing them in here to our services. Or someone may say, you don't need to be criticizing women preachers. Look at the good they're doing. God's blessing them. But again, the end does not justify the means. Moses accomplished good, but the way he went about it was wrong. Romans chapter 3. Verse 8. And why not do evil that good may come? As some people slanderously charge us with saying, their condemnation is just. Another thing we can learn from Moses' sin is that God judges us by our actions, the things we do. Moses was judged on the basis of what he did. Our standing before God is based on our actions. Today, people want to be judged by some kind of subjective faith or a mental acknowledgement or some kind of feeling. They want to be judged on those things. James 2 and verse 18 shows we can see faith by obedience. We'll turn there with me. James chapter 2 and verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. God will bring every work into judgment. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of us may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whatever good or evil. It's the things we do. It's our actions that are going to judge us. Another thing we can learn from his sin is that God is no respecter of persons. We know that Moses sinned, and he was punished by not being allowed to enter the promised land. It seems kind of harsh to some people. He led him all that time, and he did one little thing wrong, and yet it cost him a lot. He was forgiven for his sin. He said a prayer later for that, and it was evidence of that, but he had to suffer the consequences of this thing he had done. This was God's judgment. Again, God is no respecter of persons, and so God is to be feared in all things. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 17. 1 Peter 1, verse 17. And if you call on Him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. Turn over to chapter 4. Begin at verse 17. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God, and if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So again, God is no respecter of persons. Another lesson we can learn is that God is to be hallowed. He's to be praised. To Him belongs all the glory. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. We don't need to be slack in giving God His due. Ephesians chapter 3. We'll begin at verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And lastly, the thing we can learn, a lesson we have learned, is that we cannot let mistakes defeat us. A lot was taken from Moses. He made a bad error, but he didn't let it defeat him. He didn't stop. He didn't think it was too harsh. He didn't give up and turn from God because of his error. He repented of his sins, we mentioned, as evidenced by his prayer to God. So in conclusion, we know Moses was a great man, but he still sinned. All men sin and fall short of God. Let's turn to Romans chapter 3 again. We're told in verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And that doesn't leave Moses out of that. Again, if the great man Moses was not excused from his sin, neither will we be. He had to be punished for it, had consequences. So let us do our best and rely on the Lord to help us, and let's not give up or give in as well. That's our lesson for this morning. If there's any here who've never obeyed the gospel and need to do so by their belief, by their repentance, by confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and by baptism, have your sins washed away, you have the opportunity now. If you've done that and need to come back to God, you have a chance as we stand and sing.